Okay, so this is shir number three. In terms of the Hakdama of, you know, Hakdama Shirim, hopefully between today and tomorrow we'll finish the Hakdama and then we'll get moving on the actual sugyas. But just a quick recap, you know, because Shabbos, you know, a little half-sake. So we basically been developing different approaches in terms of what's the Geder HaMitzvah. Approach number one is that the focus of Mitzvah Shofar is on the Shmia. And within approach number one, we saw two different versions. We call it, you know, approach 1A was that the Geder HaMitzvah was the Shmia alone. And then the second version, called 1B, was that not only did the Geder HaMitzvah include the Shmia, but it also included what? The Hurei Tshuva itself. And if according to that, you know, second version, right, if you do a Shmia without a Hurei Tshuva, either that's completely maki of the mitzvah, or at least it's you don't have a full kiyum. That was approach number one with the two different versions. Then we moved on to approach number two, which says that the Geder HaMitzvah is not focused on the Shmia, but rather on the Tzikia. So within this second approach, that the focus is on the Tzikia, again, two different versions of how to explain it. The first version, called 2A, is that simply it's a Maisa Tzikia, right? The Geder HaMitzvah is to blow the shofar, and so, Gemarnu. Once a person performs a Maisa Tzikia, either himself physically, or somehow being halachically misyaches to the tokea, we'll get to the details a little bit later in Shir today. Either way, either you physically perform a Maisa Tzikia, or you're halachically or misyaches, you're connected to a Maisa Tzikia, you are Yotzei the Mitzvah. That's called, you know, version 2A. It would be the simple explanation of the Maisa Tzikia approach. We're going to see today that there is a lot of evidence amongst Mefarshim that the shofar is a form of tefillah. And we're going to suggest that if you were, right, and we'll spend much of today developing that yisod, that that shofar, tekiah shofar, is a form of tefillah, that you basically, you're offering a tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the shofar. So if I were to ask you right off the bat, right, Hashem has a very strong opinion about this, right? Which, in a good way, if you saw that there's a yisod of that shofar is a form of tefillah, so which approach, you know, intuitively does that seem to align better with, the Shmia approach or the tekiah approach? What would you say?
Tekiah.
Why?
Because if we're davening, then it's an act of
davening. Exactly. Right. And at first glance, right, bepashtus, right, this evidence which suggests that shofar is a form of tefillah, that would seem to align very nicely with the tekiah approach. Because the idea of tekiah is that the focus is not on hearing it, but rather, you know, blowing, outwardly, you know, presenting that that blow. And that would align very nicely with the idea is that, to say that not only are you just performing a stam maisa tekiah, but you're performing a tekiah as a form of tefillah to Hashem. So again, so within this tekiah approach, or we call it version 2A, is just that it's not a ma'aseh tekiah, that's it. The second approach is that it's a ma'aseh tekiah as a form of tefillah. All right, and the simple, I would say, right, bepashtus, the evidence we're going to, you know, basically go through in a couple of minutes, which suggests this idea that tekiah shofar is a form of tefillah, that would seemingly bepashtus work very nicely with the tekiah approach to say it's not just, you're not just performing a ma'aseh tekiah, you're performing a tekiah as a form of tefillah. So that would be the second version of the tekiah approach. It's not just a stam tekiah, but it's a tekiah as a form of tefillah. Right, and again, like we just said, the pashtus, the evidence which points in the direction of tefillah would work out very nicely with the tekiah approach. That you're offering a tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Geder HaMitzvah is outwardly focused on blowing, presenting that tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But although that's the pashtus, we're going to run into some issues, which is going to force us to also explain how this tefillah approach could also align with the Shmi approach. But we'll get that in a moment. So what we're now going to do for the next, you know, bunch of minutes is really put together different makoros which establish this yisod that shofar is a form of tefillah. We're going to start off with Ron Rishon, who is an explicit, who states this explicitly. And then we're going to go through other evidence which don't say this explicitly, but it's more implicit, right? It's clear from the halachos, but they don't seem to, you know, explicate it as clearly as the first makor. So, who is the Rishon who explicitly states that that shofar is a form of tefillin?
Rashi.
Rashi where? In what context?
That's discussing whether it should be bent or straight.
Beautiful. Right? The sugya of Kafav versus Pashut on Chavav Amid Beis. So again, everyone can turn to Chavav Amid Beis. Again, we're going to revisit this sugya when we focus on on the particular details of this sugya. But right now, we're just going to focus on the aspect of this sugya which relates to this yesod of tefillah, particularly focusing on Rashi. Let's just start off by reading the Mishnah. Shlomo, would you mind starting us off? Just reading the Mishnah.
So it's like some sort of ram.
Exactly, right? So the Tanakhama says again that the shofar should be here. We'll see from the it should be straight. That's the focus. That's the focus. Jump to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we'll get to the details later. Rabbi Yehuda towards the end, right? So again, so the Tanakhama says it should be pashut. It should be straight. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda towards the end of the Mishnah and says. Right, so Shvi Zicharim, Zicharim meaning male rams are, what type, what shape are?
Kafaf,
exactly. So right off the bat, the Tanakam is saying that you need to, the shofar should be Pashut, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the shofar should be Kafaf. We'll skip a little bit towards the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, B'mai Kamifligi. Let's say five lines up from the bottom. Shalom, you see the last two words on the line. But Gemara asks, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of whether the shofar should be Pashut or Kafaf?
So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokis?
Yeah, so what does that mean?
That, literally bend, but lower themselves.
Like subservient. Excellent, right? So literally, we'll take the literal definition for now, right? So basically, right, Rabbi Yehuda, right, who says it should be kafaf, is because it's better for a person to literally to bend himself or to bend his mentality. Again, we'll see, the Achronim point out a question whether Rashi has the word daite in his girsa. But for sure, it's tekai finish daite, according to the girsa of the Gemara. Our girsa that, his mindset should be kafaf, more like subservience. Or, we'll say, according to Rashi, is just that somehow being bent, that more like your posture, right, the way you're standing up, that you should be bent, that's better. Skip one line, Umar Savar.
Umar Savar, Rosh Hashanah, Kavod HaPashut, and someone should not be as shuffler, subservient to Hashem, and be straight,
right? So you have the machlokas in the Gemara, whether a person should be straight or should be bent. But from the Gemara itself, it's unclear where this is stemming from. Like what is this machlokas coming from, and what's the basis? What's the connection to shofar? Then comes along two very very important Rashi's. First Rashi is Kama Dekayif Inish, and the second one is Kama Depashit Tvei Adav. Y'all, would you mind going for the first one? Kama Dekayif Inish. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so what is Rashi saying? What's the context? That when is it better to be kafuf? During davening. And very important, I forgot to put this on the original Makoro sheet, but I put it on the WhatsApp. Right, the psukim that Rashi is going to quote for both deos is referencing a Gemara where?
Yvamos.
And Yvamos. And there the Gemara has two shitos in tefillah. Right, and these exact two psukim, machlokas, during tefillah, a person's posture, should they be straight up, or should they be bent over? And Rashi is very clear here. He says, right, a person should be bent during tefillah, and he quotes the pasuk of Ahayu, right, Enai, or Eni V'libi Sham, and then just the broader context of the pasuk is that it's referring to Hashem saying, right, that right after the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that I'm going to be in the Beis, my Shekhinah is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore a person should be lowered to the ground, right, facing Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, right? But then now continues Rashi to explain the connection to Shofar. Oh, that's the key line, right? Because the question is, just because during Tefillah you should be Kafaf, what's the connection here? And Rashi explicitly states that because the purpose of shofar is a tefillah, number one, and ulahaskir akedas yitzchak ba. Perhaps we'll get to the connection between those in a moment, right? So it's very clear that Rashi is explaining the deo, which says you should be kafuf. He says that's the same shita which says you should be kafuf in the realm of tefillah. And what's the connection between tefillah and shofar? Says Rashi explicitly, because shofar on Rosh Hashanah is midin tefillah. Very clear. And then he contrasts it right with the Ovel, which is about proclaiming, you know, freedom for the slaves, etc., etc. That's the first day, right? Very clear that it's because tefillah requires kafuf, so too that carries over to shofar and Rosh Hashanah, which is midin tefillah according to Rashi. Sruli, would you mind taking the next Rashi? Comment to Pashut.
Sure. Because we turn our hearts towards...
Literally, it's we turn our hearts towards our hands. Sometimes Rashi doesn't quote the most important part of the pasuk. The most important part of the pasuk is El Kel Bashamayim, right? Facing Hashem upwards in heaven. So therefore, you have to stand straight in order to be facing Hashem Bashamayim. Being straight, exactly, right? Being straight, and therefore the shofar should be straight, exactly. Right, so Rashi here again quoting right the pasuk of the other month, the Amar Nivamos, which brings this pasuk to show that during tefillah a person's posture is to be straight. So too, that should be the shape of the shofar. Again, Rashi repeats because shofar is midin tefillah. So I'll say this is the most explicit right makor, right, that shofar is midin tefillah. Right, for this you sowed that shofar is midin tefillah. But the only problem with our little hakdama, right, up until now we said, oh, this you beautiful you sowed, that's right, the shofar is midin tefillah. We said, Uriel, which approach does that seem to work better with? Tekiah or Shemiah, did we say originally?
That midin tefillah, I mean, you hear and then you have kamanas aleh.
Okay, but originally we said it seems to work better with the tefillah, right?
We're not...
With the tekiah, right? Because it's outward, right? You dive into Hashem, so you blow the tefillah, right, towards Hashem. But the problem is, this is Rashi, right? Uriel, what was Shita's Rashi that we saw in the Sefer Hapardes?
Sefer Hapardes, he said
that's the key, right? It's midin shmia. So right off the bat, right, that throws a little monkey wrench into our intuition, right? Right off the bat, right, the Rishon who has the most explicit formulation of tefillah, of shofar midin tefillah, is also the same Rashi, the Pashtus, right, who formulates the Gedr HaMitzah of shofar as a din in Shmir. So again, we would like, we're talking to Shurin about this right during Seder, you would like to, you know, assume that both Rashis could be consistent. Again, because one's Rashi on the Gemara, the other Rashi is Sefer Pardes, written by a Talmud. They could have been written at different times. It is possible that they're not consistent, just, you know, like the Rambam, who wrote different Svarim at different times. Sometimes there are inconsistencies between different Svarim of the Rambam. And some Achronim even say that different Rashis and different Masechtas aren't always consistent. There's some Achronim who say that. That being said, right, so again, although there is a way out to say, oh, in the Hanami, just these two Rashis aren't consistent, right? Could be that you would say, oh, these Rashis and the Chavav must align with the Tekiah approach, and Sefer Pardes is inconsistent. You could say that, but obviously you don't like doing that, right? You'd prefer to be able to come up with an explanation to be able to align both Rashis and somehow to align the Shofar Midin Tzfila approach with the Shmi approach. So that's what we have to do right now. How, and basically, to just explain the question succinctly, how can you align this, right, this yisod, that shofar is midin tefillah, with the shmiah approach? Anybody want to suggest anything? Yeah, Moshe, right?
Yeah.
Well,
you could necessarily say that in order for it to be tefillah, A, there has to be shmiah going on the part of all of the tongues against the shmiah.
Okay.
And then everyone has to hear it. In the first, the Kohen himself has to hear it. In that, in order, to, I guess, to be the kind of tefillah that's coming from himself.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll get to that. You see the Avnei Ezer?
No.
Okay. We're gonna see. Shomei Kohen being invoked by shofar, but that's really mitzad the tekiah, not mitzad the shmia. But we'll get to it in a moment. Do you have a second point?
No. My main. I guess you could just expand the main point to say that in order for it to be tefillah, it has to be a human.
But well, I guess the question is, why would be the, meaning when you're davening to Hashem, right, you're offering an outward tefillah to Hashem, that would sound to be outward, right? Tekiah is outward, Shmiah is inward. So we're trying to figure out, how does the outward tefillah, right, align with the with the Shmiah, which seems to be inward. So Yishurun?
Yeah, let's say tefillah is generally categorized by what they should believe, let's say the Pnimius, and let's say the self-realization projection onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when you have the Shmiah, in order for the tefillah to work, you need to have a Shmiah on the part of the listener, and therefore that area of tefillah will then go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be listening to.
Okay, beautiful. So just explain what Yishurun is saying, an idea I heard from my father-in-law on this topic. Again, he was of the belief he was a very strong believer in this idea of the shofar being midin tzvila, and a strong believer in that can align with the Shmiah approach, as highlighted by this Rashi. And he said something along the lines that Yishurun just said. And he says that although when we daven to Hashem, right, we are offering a tzvila to Hashem, but as Yishurun said, tzvila is often characterized as an avodah shebelev. Right, literally a worship of the heart, because a big part of tefillah is not just the words you're offering to Hashem, but is what your intentions are when you're offering those words. Just to give an example, this is my example, but it's a very simple example. And when you're asking for refuah shleima for a loved one, right? Why is that tefillah of asking for refuah shleima? Why is that really significant? The reason why it's significant is because the avodah shebelev, by asking Hashem for the refuah shleima, you are recognizing that you truly believe that Hashem is in control of this person's refuah. Right? So again, the significance of tefillah, although you're giving an outward tefillah to Hashem, the significance really stems from the fact that you internalize the messages of that tefillah. That's why it's considered an avodah shebelev. So my follow-up suggests that even if the shofar is midin tefillah, you would still, according to some Rishonim, would still think that the Gedr HaMitzvah would be focused on the inward Shmiah, because a big focus of Tefillah is the Avodah Shebelev, is the internalizing the messages underlying the Tefillah and the Emunah that underlines your mindset and your perspective when you are offering a Tefillah to Hashem. So in short, although a tefillah at first glance seems to be outward, which would seemingly align better with the tekiyah approach, right? If you truly understand that tefillah is an avodah shebelev, as being focused of tefillah being the inward, the emunah that you have, that's expressed by davening to Hashem, and it's all focused on the kavanas that you have, so then perhaps, suggests my father-in-law, even someone like Rashi, who thinks that the shofar is midin tefillah, would still think that the gedr hamitzvah would be shmiah, because tefillah is an avodah shebelev, it's all about how you're internalizing the messages of that tefillah. And we'll get back towards the end of this year, what exactly is the content of the tefillah of shofar, and what's this idea that we're internalizing through blowing the shofar? Yes?
Sorry, just two questions.
No, sorry.
One, why is Rashi talking about the Hajj Ketz Yitzchak? Sorry, did you try to say that that's going to be just also the it's simply in how Rashi formulates it that it's the Hasker, even though the Ritva formulates it in a different way. The Ritva says it in a specifically writes it, sorry, that it's in such a way that it's for you to change. The Hasker, again, it seems like sounds like it's just straight to the Torah.
Okay, that's a good point. We're going to get to this later, also because if you notice, the Rasag, Rav Sajagon also formulates it as inward. I guess the response would be that, meaning, it's just the generic, it's like, Lahasker Akedas Yitzchak, meaning, yeah, that just means that you're referencing Akedas Yitzchak. That doesn't mean that the impact of that reference
is... But it means that the Hasker Akedas Yitzchak has to do with the fact that it's Kafu. So I should bring it here.
Unless that's just the gedder of what the content of the tefillah was. Is. I mean, that the tefillah is lahaskir akedas yitzchak ba. We'll get to such a yisod perhaps later in this year. That meaning that the shofar, particularly the shofar within zichronos, is taking on the form of the zikaron of the akedas yitzchak.
Yeah? Right, so sorry, that was just my second question. Was, especially when we saw in Rashi, that was already brought that the Rashi seems pretty, let's say, explicit, but from the fact that he doesn't bring out that if there's any havan belief that's necessary for the kiyum mitzvah, right, about that he doesn't hold that there's a chiyuv of havana belief.
At least part of the gedra mitzvah, yeah.
Right, so l'chora, maybe it seems easier to say that the tefillah aspect is separate from the gedra mitzvah. Meaning, even if we're not going to say, meaning, even while saying that the shmiah is still the tefillah, maybe to say that the tefillah aspect comes as a separate thing from the, meaning there's the mitzvah of...
Yeah, the only problem is that it does impact the gedra in terms of at least the chatzot shel mitzvah.
The chatzot shel mitzvah that you should use, but it's... Meaning, as part, because we're being Masada their LP Seder HaTzvila, similar, I think Harry kind of brings earlier, like the Lulav, because we're bringing it as, we're putting it into the Seder HaTzvila, we want to have the Tzvila look like this. But that doesn't mean that it's smacking on your Chiyuv Shmiah.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we're going to see the other evidence, other rayos for the tefillah are going to show that it expands beyond just the chetz shel shofar, and impacts other things which do seem to relate to the gather. So again, you have to know, does Rashi agree to all those? Not necessarily, but we have to see that it's not going to be limited. There are going to be three or four different, you know, applications of this idea of shofar being midin tefillah, and it does seem to impact the gather hamitzvah. It's a worthwhile question. Does each Rishon agree with other Rishonim's nafkamina? You definitely have to pin that down. Okay, and it's important to know that in addition to my father-in-law, the Rav in the Machzor also makes this connection, right? The Rav, who's also a big fan of this idea of shofar midin tefillah, especially in the Machzor, says this for the Rambam, who's clearly a shmiya person, right? So I know the Rav in Hari Kedem says it slightly differently, but at least the Rav in the Machzor also seems to be very... His natural connection is to align the shofar midin tzvila with the shmiya approach, and you have to say something like this with this idea of avoda shibalei, which I think he does reference. Yeah.
Sorry, just a clarifying question. So Rebbe is saying that Rashi is going to hold the avoda shibalei is ma'akib now.
What do you mean by the avoda shibalei?
The hurei tshuva or whatever it is.
We didn't say this is hurei tshuva. That's something else.
Whatever the tefillah is going to be ma'akib on mitzvah.
I guess the question is what. It's a separate question of what, I mean, if it coins Rashi, just the fact that it's the proper shape, that itself
that
might...
Is the tefillah.
It could be. Okay. That might suffice. We don't know
that
from Rashi...
Like
what?
If just the fact that it's proper shape, that doesn't sound like it's totally in Shmiya, no? If just the fact that it's proper
meaning,
shape...
Meaning, the tekiah shofar is a form, right? The shofar sounds is a form of tefillah to Hashem.
Yeah.
Yet, according to Rashi, the geder hamitzvah is going to be focused on the Shmiya. Because if you had to choose between the outward focus of the tefillah and the inward focus of the tefillah, Rashi chooses the inward focus, the impact that the tefillah has
right.
on the person. But again, the geder doesn't necessarily, doesn't seem to include, those here, hooray, whatever connected
to
the tefillah.
But the fact that the tefillah is impacting the dinim, which means that it's part of the geder mitzvah. If the fact that the tefillah is part of the geder mitzvah, that means we have to say that the shmiya and whatever.
It's at least impacting that it's the shmiya versus the tekiah. But not, but he doesn't necessarily go so far to say that you need to have, let's say, kavanos of tefillah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Manashach. But if it's ma'akev, then it's a part of the geder hamitzvah.
But what aspect of it?
Whatever tefillah is going to be, whatever hirurim are going to be. It sounds like you're actually saying revives.
But again, not all hirurim of tefillah are ma'akev, and it could be that this particular tefillah, meaning.
Then it sounds like the missus tekiah. If it's not, if this has to do with your personal yurim, then it's not, the point is not the avodah shibalei, the point is just the fact that you should have a tefillah. Then it sounds like the mitzvah tekiah already.
Why?
Because the point is not the shmiya, the point is not what's affecting me.
You're saying if we're focusing inwardly because of the impact it has on a person, so then that part of the getter needs to be also the particular impact it has on the person?
Clark is impacting the
dinah. I'm not sure. I hear that, alright, I'm just not sure that it has to be the case. Okay, so far, just to summarize, right, we're in the middle of developing this yisod that the shofar is midin tzvila, and the first makor is Rashi and Chavav, who explicitly states, in order to justify the different shittos about the shape of the shofar being kafav or pashit, right, Rashi explicates that this is all because that machokis of kafav versus pashit is the same machokis that we have in the realm of tzvila, and that carries over to shofar, because shofar is also midin tzvila. Yes, Akiva.
So in this case where we connect the shmiya to the tefillah, it's kind of like from last year about how we connect the tshuva to Rosh Hashanah. There's there's a middle step. It's not such a clear like in last year. So we said like the Rambam needs to mention shofar in Hilchos Tshuva because there's no real connection from.
I mean, because you're saying it's not part of the geder.
Like, they're two separate things. Like, there's like the glue in the middle is the shofar. So through here, like, shmiya is not really connected to
tefillah. What we're saying that meaning because tefillah is an avodah shebelev. So that's what we're saying, that because tefillah is an avodah shebelev, because like the primary, impact of tefillah
is. Kind
of
it's like shofar, and then like, there's two branches. Like, there's shmiya is like what is it like what the broth is going to go about, and then. There's another, like, separate branches of tefillah, and, like, they're all connected to shofar, but they're not really...
Or one can say that when you're blowing the shofar, you're offering a tefillah to Hashem, but the question, there are two things happening when you're offering a tefillah to Hashem. It's the outward offering of the tefillah to Hashem, and the inward impact it has on the person. So the question is, which one is the primary? And that's going to be kaveh. What is going to be the gedr hamitzvah? So Rashi, according to this Mahalach, if you want to put the two Rashis together, is basically saying that because the primary aspect of tefillah is the impact it has on the person, therefore the gedr hamitzvah, or right, the way this mitzvah of shofar, which is about tefillah, is going to be mugdar, is in terms of the shmiah.
So
that's the way I see it.
So it's kind of like two aspects, and you need to figure out which one.
Which one is the primary to be magdir the mitzvah based on? Just like when it comes to tefillah, or the Torah and the Gemara formulates tefillah as an avodah shebelev. You say, what do you mean? There are two aspects of tefillah. You're also offering a tefillah to Hashem, and you're being impacted. But the Gemara, and based on the diuk of the psukim, formulate that if you want to describe tefillah, it's an avodah shebelev, because that's the primary aspect of tefillah, is the impact it has on the person. Isaac?
Isn't it a bit odd, like, now that we established that shofar might be a tefillah, that it's going to affect, like what shofar you use?
Just like when you're davening, that impacts your posture, how you're supposed to stand. So if the shofar is the vehicle of, right, if you generally, your mouth, right, you the person are the vehicle of regular tefillah, so in this case, the shofar is the vehicle of the tefillah. So just like by regular tefillah, right, the vehicle, i.e. you, has a certain posture, kafah versus pashut based on the psukim, so that carries over to here, that the vehicle of shofar, again, has the same
also the Gemara in context, like in Perek, says you wear like rag clothes during the fast, and it says it's not the same idea, the rag clothes, it comes from the mind.
Exactly, very good.
Although you're leading at the Seder,
huh? Okay, yeah, 100%. A lot of times the mitzvahs impact not just, the total posture of how you're, exactly, very good. Oh, so, okay, so moving on to now other makoros, so what we call, these are the implicit makoros, right? These are, evidence which points in the direction of a shofar being midin tefillah, but these makoros don't spell it out like Rashi do, but it seems to come out of the halachos. And the first one we're going to mention is the Gemara in Chavav Amud Aleph. Right, Nachi, do you know what I'm referring to? What's the Gemara in Chavav Amud Aleph discussing? Exactly, right? Can a shofar be from a para, be a karen? All right, and according to Ula, what's the reason for the Tanakhama? Why is a para, why is a karen possible as a shofar? Excellent. In kategor nasa senegor. Literally, what does that literally mean, Nachi? Exactly, you're right. You can't use something which works against you to come to your defense. In the case of a para, what's the kategor association? Exactly, the egel azav. So you can't use a karen which references the egel azav, on Rosh Hashanah where we're trying to gain kapar. So the Gemara goes through a number of shilos. All right, let's read a little bit of the Gemara in Chavav. Isaac, would you mind? The Gemara first introduces in kategor nasa senegor. What's the original source, Isaac, of In Kategor Nasa Senegor? The Amr of Chista, do you see it?
Yeah. The Amr of Chista, Lipnei Ma In Kun Gadol Lifnas
Kun Pesach Lifnei 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 into the Kodesh Kadashim.
So why doesn't he wear gold when he goes to the Avodah and the Kodesh Kadashim? Because In Kategor Nasa Senegor.
Right, you can't. The Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear gold, which reminds obviously Hashem. Reminds quote unquote reminds Hashem of the Egel Azav. You can't wear that lefnai lefnim. So skipping a couple lines, the Gemara says, wait a second. So if the Kohen Gadol can't wear big days of lefnai lefnim because of in kategor nasa senegor, but Isaac, does the Kohen Gadol not wear the big days of at all on Yom Kippur? He does wear it. Where does he wear it?
Outside,
right? So the Gemara answers, right? You go skip a couple lines. The Gemara says, "V'ha ika big day zav mibuchutz." But why is the Kohen Gadol allowed to wear the big day zav mibuchutz? See the answer to that. Second word of the line is mibifnim.
Mibifnim kamin. Inside, when you're in the kishkashim, where the shkina rests, so then there you can't wear
big. Exactly. So the Gemara is saying, "In kategor nasa senegor is limited to bifnim." So then, what's the obvious question, Yosef? The shofar is blown in shuls all across the Eretz Yisrael, all across the world. And yet, there's a psul of para. So what is the Gemara answer to that? So Gemara asks, shofar nami mi b'chutzu. So Yosef, what's the answer? So what does that literally mean?
Since it's a zikara, it's like it's worth it.
Exactly, because the purpose of shofar is to be a zikaron, to be a remembrance in front of Hashem. It's as if it's lifnai lifnim. And whenever the Gemara or Rishon says, oh, X is like Y, and you're making like a huge jump, like here, because it's a zikaron, therefore it's as if it's a lifnai lifnim, you have to understand, like, why is that? Right, what does that mean that a shofar is a zikaron, and therefore it's like lifnai or lifnim? So how do you see the Rav in Hari Kedem, who gives a beautiful, you know, explanation for why shofar is considered, what's this idea of kiven to lizikaron, who is considered kilifnai lifnim? Shner, what is the Rav, remember how the Rav explains this idea?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, based on the fact that we characterize it as a zikaron, and that's kibifnim, like you mentioned the Rambam.
The Rambam in Hilchos.
It's a Perkei Halacha Aleph Hilchos.
Beautiful, and Hilchos Tefillah. So the Rambam, right?
Yeah.
The Rav points to beautiful, just the Lashonos are beautiful, right? The Rav points to the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, right? What is he, which dinam of Tefillah is he discussing?
Specifically, I think that was the Emda, right? How are you supposed to be, like, positioning yourself at Tefillah?
And particularly the type of...
like, the mindset.
The mindset, the Kavana, right? Because the Rambam in, again, this Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, lists Chamisha Dvarim, which are Ma'akev the Tefillah. And one of them is Kavanas Halev. Does anybody have the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah here? So one of them is Kavanas Halev. And then in, again, Perek Dalad, Halacha Tez Zayin, right, the Rambam says, Kitzad Hi HaKavana. And he uses very important Lashonos to explain what type of Kavana a person should have during Tefillah. Yosef almost have it. Perek Dalad, Halacha Tez Zayin. See, Kitzad Hi HaKavana. Oh, that's key line, right? So what's Shiyifnes Liba Mikol Machshavos? You should, right, like, clear your mind from all other thoughts. You're right. Wait, 1 second. V'yira Atzmo, and you should view yourself, what? Ki'ilu Hu Omed where? Right in front of the Shekhinah. Right? And then a similar Lashon in Perek Hey, Halacha Dalet. Right, again, when the Rambam is talking about Kavana, he says, V'yei Libo Panoi Lamala, Ki'ilu Hu Omed B'Shamayim. A person's kavana during davening should be as if they are directly in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. So the Rav says, so you see from here, that when it comes to tefillah, he says, not only is this the mindset that a person is supposed to have, that also carries over to the tefillah itself. That the tefillah itself, says the Rav, it's as if it's brought lifnei ashchina. So the Rav is saying this very similar lashon that you have in the Gemara is being described in the realm of tefillah. So Shner, finish it up. So how is the Rav going to explain Kevin Zikaron who kilifnai dami? Because shofar is
a tefillah.
Is within tefillah. So just like we see from the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, that the person's mindset has to be as if they are davening, they're bringing their tefillos, basically lifnai lifnim, lifnai ashchina. And therefore, says the Rav, if you now say that shofar is also midin tefillah, so then you can understand why shofar, says the Gemara, is kilifnai dami. Because sin shofar is like tefillah, and tefillah, you see by the lush, from the lashon of the Rambam, is as if it's lifnei ashchina, lifnei lifnim. And once you say that shofar is midin tefillah, so then you can understand why the Gemara says that shofar, like tefillah, is kilifnai lifnim. And that's why the psul of in kategor, nasa senegor, applies to shofar. So that is our, you know, second makor to this idea that shofar is midin tefillah. Again, the fact that the Gemara applies in kategor nasa senegor to shofar and has this very interesting lashon that kiven de zikaron hu kilifnai dami. And the question is, like, why? Because it's a zikaron, that's a remembrance. Therefore, it's a zipsel of nihilathim. So Rav makes a connection. If you think that shofar is midin tefillah, and we know that tefillah has this character of being kilif nihilathim. Therefore, that carries over to shofar if you assume that shofar is midin tefillah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Rashi sounds like that it's we're talking about zikaron. Don't meant to. Well, first, the standard question is on the Rav's part: how tends to connect to lashon zikaron? Specifically, that Rashi makes it sound like the zikaron is just that it's domain of the Big Day Kohen, just that both things are trying to be Mars.
We're going to see when we get to in 2 or 3 days, when we get to the Sugya, we're going to see that Rashi does not take this approach. We're to hold Rashi. Well, I think he's going to mean what is mean. The zikaron is referring to the character of the content of the tefillah.
The tefillah is
a zikaron l'fnei Hashem, coming off the lashon of the pasuk, zikron shru.
It's not a shmiyah.
What?
Then it's not focused on the Rambam also. This is a shmiyah, no.
But
who's zikaron? Who's zikaron?
It's a zikaron. Again, it's getting back to our machlokas during Seder. Meaning, what makes the zikaron l'fnei Hashem significant is the fact. Yeah. So we might have to agree to disagree on that, but that's not the way I think the Rav is going to have to take it. Yeah, yeah. Shlomo. One more time?
Can you reiterate?
Yeah. The idea is basically, right, again, we're bringing evidence for this idea that shofar is midin tefillah. And we brought this Gemara in Chavava Mar Aleph, which basically says that in kategor nasa senegor applies to shofar. And the Gemara asks, why? In kategor nasa senegor, we know from the context of Big Day Kohen Gadol, only apply lifnim. So the Gemara says, because shofar is a zikaron lifnei Hashem, because it's like, you know, serves as a remembrance for Klal Yisrael in front of Hashem, therefore it's as if it's kilifnai or kilifnai dami. So the Rav says, where do we see this concept? By tefillah. By tefillah also, you have this idea that the kavana needs to be, it's as if you're, you know, lifnei Hashchina, and the Rav takes it one step further. So that's not only your kavana, the person's mindset, but that's because the tefillah itself is kilifnai dami, lifnei Hashchina, and that once shofar is midin tefillah, it takes on those characteristics. Yeah, you sure?
Do we find that tefillah is ever categorized as a zikaron in another place? Because it's kind of hard. Like, if we ever find out that tefillah is categorized as zikaron in any other place, it seems like we're to say like one place, like the Gemara says zikaron.
That's interesting. Why is zikaron dafka like a remnant of tefillah?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I mean, like, I understand what the Rebbe's doing with halacha. I just don't know why the Gemara is using
this
zikaron.
They seem to be separate.
That's definitely one form of it. Yeah.
But sure, if it's the Kedis Yitzchak, then that's tefillah.
Well, also, we aren't zikaron named.
I get it.
Unless you go, yeah.
Hold off till the end of this year. We'll get back to that. Okay. Quickly.
Why isn't there a problem with the shofar being gold?
Good. Who asked me that? Isaac, right? No. Yoni. Yeah. Good. We'll get to that when we. Why isn't there a problem with the shofar? It's gold. In short, we're gonna get to it. It's like an adornment on the outside, ends up being tuffle to the actual shofar. But we'll get to that when we do those things.
Yes. Not taking into the
photo. No, but kilafai on me. Yeah, so we'll get to that. In short, it ends up being tuffle because it only ends up being on a small part. But we'll get to that when we come up with the Mishnah. That's an excellent question. Let's just speed up the pace. We're a little early, hoping to. It's great. I love it. Let's just make sure we finish. Always have to keep Shira up to, you know, with the Makoros and Seder, otherwise we fall behind. Okay, right. So far we had Rashi on Chav Amaviz. We had the Gemara of Inkategor Nasa Sanegor, and this very enigmatic Yesod that came into the Zikaron, who, all right, Kibif Nimdami. And then the Rav's explanation. And now let's go to the Ritzvah in Sukkah. Right, so the Gemara in Sukkah. Anybody tell me, what is the Gemara in Sukkah talking about? Excellent. Sukkah Gzula. You kick a guy out of the Sukkah and you just take over the Sukkah. And the Gemara has a Machlokas there. Basically, right, the Machlokas Tanaim about whether you can be Yotze in such a Sukkah. And the Gemara explains the Maskana that it's basically Machlokas about whether you can be Yotze a Sukkah with a Sukkah She'ula. Right, a Sukkah that doesn't belong to you, a Sukkah belongs to someone else. So the Ritzvah quotes a question from the Bali Tosos, right? And they're bothered by, right, Yoni, what are they bothered by? What are the Tosos bothered by? In the Ritzvah and Sukkah. And why is the Gemara talking about Sukkah She'ula? Isn't there a more obvious psul that applies here? Psul of Mitzvah Bavera. Right, just like Lulav HaGazel is puzzle, Sukkah Gezula should be psula because of mitzvah ba'avira. Right, so what is Uriel? What's the answer to the Bali Tosos?
Bali Tosos answer was that Sukkah is fine, but shofar, lulav, and like a whole list of other things would not be fine. I think
yes. Meaning, to flip it, you're 100% right. Yeah. That mitzvah ba'avira only applies to certain types of mitzvahs. What's the category of those mitzvahs? Starts with a resh.
Ritzui.
Thank you, Shalom. All right.
Oh, yeah,
right. Like that only applies. Again, it's also an interesting gather to figure out exactly what this means. But right, the Bali Tosas say that the only mitzvahs which are subject to mitzvah ba'avira are the mitzvahs which are defined as ritzui. Literally means gaining appeasement from Hashem, right? And it's very interesting what the Balai Tosfos put on that list, right? You're showing what are on the list?
Oh, we didn't get a chance to get to it.
Oh, sorry, you didn't get to it. What's Shalom? What are the three mitzvahs on the list, which are midin ritzui and therefore are subject to mitzvah b'avera? Okay, good. Shofar, lulav, and probably the most obvious one is karbanos. Right, so karbanos being midin ritzui, that's pretty understandable, right? Because karbanos are connected to tefillah, right? Tefillah or tefillah is connected to karbanos, right? So the fact that karbanos is midin ritzui, that's much more understandable. But it's interesting, right, that these Tosfos, right, these Balei Tosfos, also put on the list both lulav, which is not our sugya for now, and also shofar, right? And I know many people point to this Tosfos as saying, I believe my father-in-law as well, as that this shows that shofar and also lulav, which is its own sugya, are both midin tefillah. Right? And therefore, once you understand that shofar, that's our focus for now, is midin tefillah, then you can understand why they're in the category of ritzui. Because again, if it was just a stam shmiah or a stam tekiah, then why ritzui? Right? Ritzui seems to have a connotation of, you know, of kapara, of tefillah, of karbanos. So, right, so the extension, right, the inclusion of shofar in this list, again, works out very nicely with this idea if you assume that shofar is midin tefillah. Yes, Moshe.
This must be on the Sabbath of Tekiah, not Shmiah, because...
Okay, it's a good aura. Not everyone agrees. We'll get to Mitzvah Bavera a little later in the summer. Sorry. Not everyone agrees to the Rambam's Gedher of Mitzvah Bavera. Meaning that the Balei Tosfos might not... I mean, there are two assumptions in the Rambam. Number one is that Shomea is the Koveya. The other assumption is that Mitzvah Bavera only applies when the Chetze Shel Avera becomes the Chetze Shel Mitzvah. There are other mahalchim, different approaches to mitzvah b'avera, which don't require that tonight. Right? So you don't necessarily have to say tekiah. You could just adopt an alternative approach to mitzvah b'avera. Right? It was one approach to mitzvah b'avera said, as long as you needed the avera was necessary to facilitate the mitzvah, then it doesn't matter what it's the same chavtza, you still have mitzvah b'avera. Right? So as long as you adopt one of those other ones, you can justify it. But it's an excellent hara. Yeah.
Would you have to also buy the Ritva and start saying that the whole point of the shofar is for the Ritva.
Remember, this is the Balei Tosfos quoted by the Ritva. Oh. The Ritva himself happens to reject these Balei Tosfos. Right. So because he happens to reject it, you don't know necessarily what the shita of these Balei Tosfos are. But point well taken. Otherwise, yes.
For the Ritva, he
was
actually
Menicha
to take this because he holds in Yisa
that
it's the
Ritva
Aramakim.
Yeah, and it's again another way to explain Ritva within Ritva, you're saying. Yeah, 100%. That's good also. It happens to be that the Ritva rejects this really from the perspective of Mitzvah Bavera. He doesn't like the limitation. He says, like, what do you mean? Mitzvah Bavera applies to Matzah. Matzah is clearly not within Ritva, so...
I mean, but with him, what we're saying, it seems like, just based on the Ritva that we saw over there, it sounds, based on how I was explaining the...
Because again, the Sisod is in the Tosfos, not necessarily in the Ritva. Okay, so far we've had Rashi Chavav and Beis, we've had the Gemara and Chavav and Aleph, as explained by the Rav, we've had the Ritva B'Shem, the Balei Tosfos, and now second to last on this list of the Rishonim, is the Tosfos in Psachim. Very famous Tosfos in Psachim, Kuftas Vav and Aleph, right? Let's try to do this more quickly. Anybody get to the Gemara? Right? The Gemara is talking about a case. Did you get to the Gemara?
Yeah, about the Maror.
Exactly, right? You don't have a separate Karpas and Maror. You only have the same... You're eating the Maror twice. Eating during Karpas and during Maror, right? So, make a long story short, you have a Machlokis Amarayim. Do you have it?
Yeah. Or Funan Rukhista.
Exactly. All right, let me get it also. So, first... You have the Shita of Rav Huna, right, towards the bottom of Kuf Yudalad on the base. Right, Gemara asks, what happens if you only have Maror? So you eat the Maror during the Karpa stage and also during the Maror stage. Question is, So when do you make the brachos?
Yeah.
So Amar Rav Huna.
Amar Rav Huna mevarech miyikara amaro b'pri adama v'achil. So first you make on that vegetable you have chazat that you make for a karpas, you make an adama, you eat some. L'vesof mevarech alei alechios mar for the mitzvah or mitzvah mar later v'achani a little bit later.
Exactly. Then Rav Chisla goes to town.
Moskva, yeah. Moskva, because he says, after you already ate a bunch of it, you're going to then make another bracha on it.
It just doesn't make sense to, like, because brachos always have to be over lasiyasan, to make a birchas mitzvah after you did that same maisa, it just doesn't sound right. That doesn't work. So therefore, Ella Amar of Chizda, this is the top of Kuftes Vav Amin Aleph and Psachim.
Ella Amar of Chizda, mi karma barach le berpir adama, ve al achilas mar, you make both brachos on that one thing beforehand. Achin, you eat it. Ulevesof achilas chasa below bracha.
Exactly.
You just eat it without the bracha. For that's the shemar, but not with making the bracha achilas maror.
Exactly. So you end up making the birchas mitzvah of maror before eating karpas. So Tosos on the spot is basically bothered by this idea, because again, if you think about it, it's really what's the ikar maror, right? Eating it when during karpas. Exactly, because you have to eat it specifically after what. After matzah.
So why is he eating a Beseder Isha on
this? Because he only has one vegetable. He ends up having to eat the maror twice. But really, the kiyum of maror is really later, after the matzah. So how does Tosos explain, right? What mashal, right? What other parallel does Tosos give where you have this example where you're making a bracha, right? You're doing the same, you call it the maisa mitzvah, you're doing it twice. Really, the second one is the ikar, but yet the bracha comes before the first one. So do you remember the example he gives, which is why I'm bringing up matzah, why I'm bringing Mar? Probably shofar, that's a good idea. Did you get to tell us or no?
I did.
Okay, I don't remember. Anybody remember? For real?
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because you didn't say the brachos first, and about your yoshvin, something
right,
like that.
Right, tekiyas dem yoshav, and tekiyas dem umen, right?
Not some sort of something.
Yeah, very, very, very important. Right, so there are two sets of shofar. Right, the first one's called Tkiyas Dem Yushuf. Those are the ones that you make the Birchas HaMitzvah, you blow the thirty kolos. That's before Shemona Esrei.
Wasn't there a different opinion that you do the Tkiyas Dem Yushuf first and then you have the Birchas after?
Might have. Not sure. I mean that you say the Birchas HaMitzvah because the Tkiyas Dem Umad are during Chazaras HaShatz.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the Yushuf.
What? The Dem Yushuf, you say the Bracha before the first set. During the Miyushav.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, so Tosa says, there too, you're making the Birchas HaMitzvah before the Tekiyos to Miyushav. But yet, it's really again, so but according to Tosa, this is the key part. According to Tosa, what is the Ikar Mitzvah?
The ones that you do standing during Mitzvah.
Exactly. According to this Tosos, the Ikar Tekiyos are the Tekiyos Dimu Umar. That's the key point that I want to get out of here, right? Shitas Tosos and Psachim Kutas Vav is that although, right, the bracha is said before the first Tekiyos Dim Umad, the Iker Kiyom is the Tekiyos Dim Umad. And that's very strange. Generally, the Iker Kiyom is the first time you do the mitzvah, right? Why is it that the Iker Kiyom would be the ones Dim Umad? You're sure, and what would you say? Why would the Iker Tekiyos be the Tekiyos Dim Umad?
Because it's been the Tekiyos Dim.
Exactly. Because similarly, the most compelling explanation for why the Tekiyos Dim Umad would be the Iker is if you think that Tekiyos themselves are a form of Tefillah. Once Tekiyos are a form of Tefillah, then the most natural context for a shofar midin Tefillah would be Be'emsa Tefillah, i.e. the Tekiyos Dim Umad. Right? So another raya to this idea that shofar is midin tefillah is the shita in Tosfos, that the tekiyos to me'umad are the ikar kiyum, represent the ikar kiyum mitzvah, which should seemingly only make sense if shofar itself is a form of tefillah, and therefore the ikar kiyum is to offer that tefillah, be'emsa chazar es hashatz, be'emsa another tefillah. Yeah.
Could there be nafkamina's la halacha in terms of the different hagim between Nesach, Sephardim, and Ashkenaz about doing tekiyos b'emtzah shemun eser by starting the sukkari versus because it's tefillah chori should be a problem, but perhaps like if you do it shemun
eser. Yeah, I think I don't know. The Rav is very fond of the minhag of nusach sfard, right, to do a be'emsa even to those lachash, because he was very fond of this idea of shofar being midin tefillah. 100%. Yeah. So that is, right, so again, that's a, yet another raya to this idea that shofar is midin tekiah. And therefore, we'll develop this in a couple of minutes. Therefore, if you view that shofar itself is a form of tefillah, so then it integrates beautifully into the tefillah of the malchios, the chronos, and shofros, which are the settings, are the places and time when they are set. Yeah.
Did the Rav Halacha Lamaisa actually blow during Shmush Rezim?
I'm not sure they did blow. I'm not sure. Look at them.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure he did. I feel like it says that he did. I feel like it says that he did in the Rav Machzor. But I have to check.
Did he switch his Darwin Shmush Rezim like this, right?
What?
I'm just going to say, did he change all his
no, I can't. No, that I can't.
Yeah.
The Ren brings
my
leg,
you
taking us.
Son.
Yeah, we'll get to this. Yeah.
So, Lachar, he brings over there that the point is just like to fake out the Satan or whatever it is. So, you don't have to say necessarily the reason that we're being attacking the point is just that the kids in the Milamud are we want to get the Satan out of the way and then do that. So, it makes sense.
We'll get to that. The big machlokas in that Sugya is, I mean, the Gemara in Ranta Zion says that we blow the shofar multiple times because they la arve as a Satan. The big machlokas we've shown him is that, right, which one's the decoy? Alright, it's kios the Milamud, it's kios the Mushin. And the machlokas is shown about that, but that seems to be a very good test case, right? Because if you didn't assume that shofar was midin tefillah, so you'd assume what would be the ikker ones, the first one, because that's what you do first, and then the second one's the decoy, right? So the fact that certain rishonim like Tosas go out of their way to say no, that the first one's the decoy and the second one's the ikker mitzvah, what's compelling them to do that would make sense. That what's compelling them if they think, oh, because the natural setting, the natural context for shofar doing midin tefillah would be the emsa tefillah. Right, so just, yeah, because based on the Arvav is a Satan, you don't know which one it is. So therefore, the fact that he chooses the first one to be the Arvav is a Satan, that itself is the lie. Yeah, Shal.
What about the fact you sit for the first one? Is that also like, when you want to stand for the good one?
Oh. We'll get to the Rishonim there in terms of why it's actually called Demusha versus Demu Umad.
Why don't we stand today anyway?
Yeah. So I think that's just, the machlokas Rishonim in terms of why those phrases differentiate those two, but we'll get back to that. Another hand, yeah.
The Tosfos are saying that you're going to be yotzi with the maror when you make the bracha in the beginning.
Yeah, I'll spell that out. So he says that you make right the bracha you say before the first maror, but really it's going on the second maror. Yeah,
but are we daka not supposed to have a desire so you wouldn't be yotzi when you do it during Karpas, when you
yeah, that's fine here too.
So I'm going to use the lashon of like your yotzei me'ad, and that's why you're able to.
Well, the reason why you do less than a kazai is also for I think bracha chrona purposes. And that's really the reason why you eat less than a kazai
so
of the Karpas.
What? So you would make a bracha chrona.
So again, you're saying in this case you would end up. Sorry, you're asking, would you eat a kazai the first time? You're basically asking.
Say it's not a bracha levatela because you're going to be yotzei on the maror. At this point, even though the ikr is later, you have to be doing it because you're making alakilas maror on this maror.
Yes, I say you have to be yotze.
So you would have.
You would eat it kazayas. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so just to put on the jet engines a little bit because we have 15 minutes left and like a lot left. So let's just do a little faster. Oh, so again, another raya. Just from it's always good to like look at the nusach tefillah. Right? Is there any evidence from the Nusach HaTzvilah itself which would imply that these tekios are tefillah which integrate into the Musaf of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? That's why I had you see that there's like a piyut that we say after every single set of the tekios Dim Umar. Right? Where is that? Yeah. Yeshurun? Or the Aresa Sefasenu?
Aresa Sefasenu Yerlo Panacha, Tara Menisa.
Right when you read it, you probably start singing the Nigunim in your mind, right? Aresa Sefasenu, right? So all the different Nigunim that come to mind, right? We say this after every single set of shofar in the Chazaras HaShatz. We say, and so what does Aresa Sefasenu Yerlo Panacha mean? Right, the utterance of our lips, of our mouth should be
like come up to you.
Exactly, should be sweet in front of me. Exactly.
Tara Menisa, let's say God above and awesomeness.
Exactly.
Maven umazin mabin umakshav lakol tekidaseinu.
Very important, right? So maven, what's maven?
You understand,
right? You understand, right? Umazin, you listen. Mabin is like you look closely. Umakshav, you pay careful attention. Lakol tekidaseinu, terakol. So a couple of aras here. A couple of dukim. Any dukim yourself?
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's say within Rabbi Rosenzweig's Shita is that he's, let's say, what do you need to be maven and makshav any of these cultic saying? Rather must be, let's say, the inherent things within us. He's paying attention to what's going on within our heads.
Or just the fact that Hashem is paying attention to what the tefillah is.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Meaning you don't have to be so fancy. That's
like,
good also.
Very, like, deep, meaning
if it's just a stam maisa tekiah. Maven, you don't understand. Just like before, I remember the Taz. They're like, "What do you mean, bickel? You listen to the sound. What does it mean? You listen to what the sound has to say. Same thing here. What do you mean that Hashem understands and pays attention to the kol? What is there to pay attention to? It's a sound. But if you say that it's a tzvila, so Hashem is paying attention to what the tzvila is, and we'll get to it in a couple of minutes what the tzvila is. Right? Each one during Malchus, Zechronos, Shofar have a distinct theme. So we're praising Hashem for understanding what the content of the tefila is. Again, if it was just a sound ba'alma, then it's only to pay attention. It's only to understand. A sound is a sound. Yeah, Moshe.
At the same time, can't I say, it says specifically the cold to the asenu. Why couldn't it could have just said litki asenu, right? But it says the cold to the asenu, so maybe it's specifically about the sound instead of.
But I'm saying, but what does that mean? What do you mean you understand our sound? If the sound represents a tefila and a certain message behind that, which we'll get to in a moment, then that makes a lot more sense, in my mind. And there's the other diuk, which you could argue with, is the first two words, Arestes Sifaseinu. Ever, you say, the utterance of our lips right after the tekios? So you could tell me...
Oh,
what? Exactly. You could say, it's going back on the psukim, yeah. Or all the psukim of the Malchias, the Chornos, and Shofros. You could say that. But it's also possible that maybe... If you understand that the shofar itself is a form of tefillah, so maybe we could refer it to the shofar as Arestes Sifaseinu, because Arestes Sifaseinu is basically a reference to tefillah, and the shofar itself is a form of tefillah. So I think there are two diukim, one for sure and one perhaps, where just in the piyut that we say right after the tekiyos Timumud, after each set, right, which implying, right, two diukim implying that they are a form of tefillah. Yeah.
Which is ironic, I could be misremembering, but I don't think this Sfarad actually says the tefillah.
One more time?
I don't think this Sfarad actually says
the tefillah.
Oh, really? In the middle of the sounds, right?
Oh, for sure not. Because so, that's, yeah, exactly. But that would be a hefsek. But yeah. Yeah.
Also, because there's no tefillah. So
what?
Also, because there's no tefillah.
One more time?
Also, in because there's just because there's no tefillah.
No, they say they do both. Nisuch Sfar does it during.
I just don't think they have it in the Chazar Shatz.
Oh, at all? Oh, even during Chazar Shatz?
I believe so.
Oh, I thought you meant. Oh, that's interesting.
Are you sure?
I guess.
The Sacharita does both.
I never remember saying it.
Oh.
Interesting. I remember saying it when I was younger.
Because it's a really, really annoying tune.
Yeah, you're sure.
Yeah, Rabbi, could we also read this? Let's say, not saying that it's tefillah, but also like a zecher. But also read like this. It doesn't tell you the right. Could say that Akash Baruch was giving more attention to this Yitzchak.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
it's not forcing you one way. 100%.
I think they're connected, as I'm going to see
in
2 seconds.
Okay,
but yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%. Last raya, before we get into what the tefillah is all about, is the Avnei Nezer. Right? And he's not the only one who says this. But basically, the Avnei Nezer, basically anybody who accepts the tekiah approach is going to have a problem because, again, Isaac, does every single person do a tekiah? No. Generally, it's a batel and everyone listens. So the question is, so if it's listening, okay, everyone's listening. But if the mitzvah is the tekiah, the problem is, how is everyone going to be yotzei? So what does the Avnei Nezer say?
That is Shomer Ka'onah.
Shomer Ka'onah. But what's strange about Shomer Ka'onah here? What's the typical application of Shomer Ka'onah?
Well, if someone's saying something. Like
saying something, then...
It's like you're saying...
Exactly. The din of Shomer Ka'onah is by dibur, by tefillah, right? It's interesting that these achronim, without any mekoros, just carry it over to a maisa tekiah. And if anything, if you remember the Rambam, if you remember in Shuvah, we did in the first year, said, if it's a din of maisa tekiah, it's a mitzvah shebegufo, and no one can be misyachis to it. Everyone has to do it themselves. But yet, like the Avnei Nezer and others, just without any makoros, say, you can apply Shomea Ka'one, you can extend it from the realm of tefillah to shofar. So I would say, this seems to be a great raya, that tekiah is midin tefillah.
It makes it even worse.
Why?
Nobody came down for you.
Kiddush, Chazar Zashatz. Shomea Ka'one works by tefillah. Someone doesn't know how to daven, doesn't know how to bench. Someone's going to say it for you.
Itself is like the
tefillah. Yeah, if tekiah is a form of tefillah, So then, yeah, we understand why you can apply Shomei Hakone.
But
what do you think the reason for Chazaras Hashatz was? That people didn't know how to say Shimon Esrei, and now that we do it, it's better to do it yourself, but right. Tefillah is subject to Shomei Hakone. So I'm just saying, like, hello, Dover, who, like, wait a second, they just, without a Makor, just extend something from the realm of Tefillah to Tekiah? If you think that Tekiah is Midin Tefillah, then in a Kadami. Yeah.
Based on what we're saying, are we saying the Mikra Megillah is a type of Tefillah? Because Shomei Hakone works there too?
Or, it's meaning, any Dibur, generally Shomei Hakone is by any Dibur / Tefillah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep
it. So
we're
going to say the same thing, if someone else could do something for you, then it's like...
One more time?
If we're saying here that...
I mean, Shofar is a mitzvah on grama, so Nashim happens to be futuros from it, but...
But we're... someone could do it's kia for you,
right? Yeah. Meaning, it's definitely, it's clear from Mishnayos that there's a Baal Tokeya, and then other people are listening, that that works. So the question is, if the Gedder mitzvah Shmia, then it's very easy to understand why everyone could do their own Shmia. If the Gedder mitzvah is Tekiah, how can one person do that for you? So there can be different answers to it, but the Adnan Ezer's answer is that Shomei Ka'one. As if it's like Shomei Kitokea. And it's like, why is Shomei Ka'one the same thing as Shomei Kitokea? The answer is, if Tokea is a version of Tefillah, then we can understand it. Okay? So in the 7 minutes that we have left, like just quickly, so far we basically established this, hopefully, I mean, thoroughly certain makaros, this yisod of shofar being midin tefillah. But the problem is that there are no words here, right? So if we're saying it's a tefillah, like what does that mean that this sound is a tefillah? What type of tefillah is it? What is that tefillah saying? So I'd like to suggest, particularly based on, right, that Tosos and Psachim, which says that, right, the Iker Kiyam of this tefillah is during the Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf. Right, what are the, right, Gavi, what are the three themes in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? Exactly. Machios, Zichronos, and Shofar. So I'd like to suggest that perhaps the content of the tefillah of Shofar is connected to each of these three themes. Namely, when you blow the Shofar during Machios, the tefillah is a tefillah of Malchios. We'll explain. When you blow the shofar during Zichronos, the content of the tefillah is the content is the theme of Zichronos. And the same thing as shofaros. Let's go through it quickly. Let's just do it, and then we'll take all questions. Go through each one. What is Malchios all about, Moshe? What's Malchios all about?
Like the trumpets when they're agreeing.
Like, exactly, right. Be Mamlech Kadosh Baruch over us. Exactly. Be Makabo Hashem's Malchus over us. Right, is coronation, right? And we have this in, we're going a little faster here, have this in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, right? Lama Dalet Lama Beis, right? It says, Amr Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amr Lefanai Rosh Hashanah, Malchios Sechornos Shofros. And what is Malchios? Malchios Kadesh Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. Make me into your Melech. Coronate me. Exactly like Moshe just said, because at a coronation, right, you blow the shofar, you blow the trumpets to show that you're being mamlich, right, a particular king. So I'd like to suggest that the tefillah of the shofar during Malchios, that we're blowing the shofar and we're basically davening to Hashem that we hereby are being mamlich, you Hashem, over us. We are, in essence, accepting your malchus over us. That is the content of the tefillah shel shofar during the Malchios. And where in early source do we, besides where we see a connection between the mitzvah of shofar and this idea of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What? Excellent, Rav Sadja Gaon. It's actually the first in Rav Sadja Gaon's list is this idea that we blow the shofar as if we're at a coronation to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over us. Right, so we can suggest that this is the character of the tefillah of the shofar during Malchios. Right? And it's beautifully aligned with the theme of Malchios. We're blowing the shofar to basically offer a tefillah to Hashem. We want to be mamlech you over us. And that's a tefillah. We're representing what our wants and desires are. Again, we're going to skip for now, but the Shuvas Binyanam, which I wanted you guys to see, it was one of the, you know, we'll get to that if we have time. Right? It was the Rishon Letzion, chief and a Sephardi rabbi in Israel in the 1990s. He recently passed away. So he also has a beautiful formulation of the shofar where he says, the Yom HaMelucha Shemamlichim Es Hashem B'Shofar U'B'Psukim. Right? A beautiful formulation that through the Tekiah shofar would be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch. Right? Along the lines of Rav Sadja Gaon, that could be the content and the character of the tefillah during Malchios. Oh, But what about Zichronos? Right? Yeshurun, what's the connection? What is Zichronos about? What's the big Zikaron that we keep on referencing? And you keep on referencing during this year? What? Exactly. Akedas Yitzchak. Excellent. Right? And this comes in the Rosh. Where's this Gemara mentioned? The connection between Shofar and Akedas Yitzchak? Excellent. Tezayin. Right? Tezayin says, what about the Shofar? It has to be from an aisle. Right? The fact that we have, or the Gemara in Tezayin says, the fact that, right, Amar Rabbi Avo, Lama Tokim B'Shofar Shal Aisle. Why do we choose an aisle? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Tiku lefanai b'shofar shel ayil kedei she'ezkor lachem akedas Yitzchak ben Avram umala ani aleichem ki'ilu akadatem atzmechem, right? Lefanai, right? So you have this connection between the shofar and akedas Yitzchak. So one can say along these lines that the content of the tefillah, right, during the tefillah of the shofar during Zichronos is that we're basically blowing the shofar and we're basically saying to Hashem, remember akedas Yitzchak. And if you look at the Zichronos themselves, we often reference Akedas Yitzchak in two ways. And this is what, you know, Rav Shimi was referencing before. The two different directions. Number one, we're being as a Zikaron to Hashem. Like, have this be a Zchus for us. And also, if you look carefully at Rav Sajigon, do you have Rav Sajigon, the Lashon? Or Inyan Ashishi, he says, not only is it a Zikaron with Hashem, but it's also the impact it has on us. Which I thought was beautiful in light of what we're saying right now. Do you have it? Have lashon of inyan hashishi. So you have two aspects. Not only is it the tefillah, which are reminding Hashem of the zikar, as I'm trying to say, they're all connected. Maybe that's the content of the tefillah during Zichronos, is that we're trying to reference Akedas Yitzchak, number one, for the zikar on lifnei Hashem, for it to be a zichus for us, and also for the impact it should have on us as a role model for the Mesiras Nefesh, right, that we should have towards Hashem. Might have to skip the Minchos a loser because we're out of time. I apologize. Minchos a loser happens to be the Munkach or Rav. My family comes from Munkach, so I did want to. Actually, we can't skip it. Right, the Minchos a loser, right, is trying to understand the Minhag. Moshe, what's the Minhag that the Minchos a loser is trying to understand?
That Akedas Yitzchak is
the answer. What do they do during when they were saying the bracha over shofar? What would they do to the shofar?
Cover it up.
They would cover it up.
I see that in Nusach Sfarad Shulos.
Oh yeah. Okay. So what's according to the Minchos a loser? Why did they cover it up?
Cover tznia.
What?
To be like tznia.
Not just the tznias.
They didn't put it for the.
Because what is the shofar reference to? And what did Avram do with Yitzchak? He covered it up because he didn't want to be a mum. So again, you see throughout this idea of this connection between the shofar and Akedas Yitzchak. So perhaps, at least during Zichronos, that the tefillah of the shofar, again, is this, we're blowing the shofar to remind Hashem, if you will, of Akedas Yitzchak, and also reminding ourselves of that model of Mesiras Nefesh. And just to conclude, the last one is shofros. Right? Shofros, which is the underestimated one, people don't speak about it a lot. Shofros is all about Giloy Shechina. Right? It's about, you know, recognizing the presence of Hashem in this world. In the past, in the present, in the future. So perhaps the character, the tefillah of the shofar during shofros is basically, we're blowing the shofar to represent, we recognize that the king is here. We recognize that you, Hashem, are present, are part of our lives. And we know a big part of tshuva is recognizing Hashem's presence in our lives. So again, so we basically developed, including 30 seconds, and I'll take questions on the way up, right? We developed, right, based on the Rashi and Chavav and Beis, the Gemara Chavav of Aleph according to the Rav, right? We had, right, we had the Ritzvah and Mishnah and Balei Tosos, we had Tosos in Psachim, and we had the Avnei Nezer. Again, all these seemingly to establish the Yisod of Shofar being Midin Tzvilah. We point out the Pashas that seems to align with the Tzki approach. And also, if you work a little harder, could align with the Shmi approach, and we just pointed out. So what is this tefillah all about? Tefillah always has a theme. So perhaps the theme is the themes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, though, as the content of the tefillah, when it's being blown during Chazaras HaShatz and Pesach.